Certainly.
Okay, so we have no bugs. Aditya, would you like to give your update?
Yeah, sure. So CPS 482, which is related to deploying CPS temporal, that OM charts has been developed and it is up for review. There was another task in the backlog to use the same DB as it is used for CPS core for CPS temporal. So I've just pulled that in. In case there are any items which has a higher priority than this, then I'm okay to take that as well. That's okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruno?
I make a few changes in the POC for the producer part of when versioning and the CPS event. So I push also the change in all the code in a work in progress change, and I'm going to update the documentation accordingly. So that's where I am with this one.
Okay, perfect.
For me, so CPS 530 has a it didn't have any code commands, but there was another task in CPS temporal which was merged, and there were some non-blocking code commands. Those I have addressed at the part of CPS 530, and for CPS 526, I was looking at the spring async, and there is an implementation which is working. But I'm facing some issue with the arc test related to the package dependency. So there I didn't make any changes in the class, but somehow it's giving the error. If I just change anything in the class, it removes the freezes and start validating it again. So because of that, it's failing. As a workaround, I have added my package there too. But I think we need to, we need to improve that particular test case, because right now it does not test properly, because I don't think it does that. So that is my update.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
I agree. I've seen that the config, because also I think we could improve the packaging by moving the notification package, and then also the layer architecture is not test, because we are missing the some configuration file. So I've seen that it has been done previously by Dylan, but somehow it's not there anymore. So yeah, probably we could review and if this okay. In a different task, if it's not working for the async implementation.
It actually, I think it does not let me push anything, so I have to make changes in the arc test just to make it work. That test case, but the maybe Bruno, I will discuss your comment, because I don't think we should move it inside the impl. So maybe we will discuss this comment offline.
Yeah, sure. So, we can discuss this one. Okay.
Yeah. So that's it from my side.
Yes. Rahul?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah, so I have started working on 577. I have committed the code for 487 and 580. So this is currently I'm doing. I was reviewing also some code, the team.
Thank you. Yeah, for myself, so the license scan issue is just in relation to one of the tasks for the M3 milestone. So I've been looking into that. And also for the route data for faster running. I have a commit up for that, but the build is failing. So I just need to look into that issue. So, Luke?
Hi, yeah. So for me, I did, the two commits for one for the delete list nodes, that story has been completed, and then also just the fixing of the Sonar Cube code smells has also been committed. So other than that, this morning I was mostly looking at, the story that Rahul has just picked up there is 577. I was looking at it and seeing if I could possibly take it, but then I decided that I wasn't confident that I'd be able to do it within the week, considering the code pieces next week. So that's what I spend most of my morning doing. And then other than that, I've just been reviewing code. So thanks.
Great. Thank you. Joe?
Yes, good afternoon. As Neil was saying, I have an issue I'd like to discuss, but I'm just wondering, should I discuss it now or wait until the end?
We'll take it after the software status.
Yeah, so I suppose my update is I'm continuing on with 505. I've run into a little issue with the CM handles and additional properties. But yeah, I can discuss that at the end. Thank you.
Thank you. Dylan?
Yep, so in regard to both these stories, update CM handle, I've addressed all the comments on that, and I've just re-uploaded a patch. I was a bit late just doing it because ran into some rebasing issues there, but I've solved them now just a couple of minutes before the call, and I've pushed upstream. So I'll leave a comment on the Slack channel to just review those changes again. Like I said, all the comments have been addressed. The main one was Raoul's comment about the new logic in the CPS data service implementation. So I've just, as I said, addressed that mainly. And that seems to be all okay now. And in terms of remove CM handle and DMI registry, I have that done locally and I have those changes stashed. The only reason I haven't committed it yet is because I wanted to address the comments on CM handle first, because both classes kind of, as in they're both kind of intertwined and they both interact with the same classes. So to kind of avoid any conflicts or anything like that, I've just kind of handled addressing those comments first while having these changes stashed. So I'm going to unstash these changes, resolve any conflicts, and then I can push them up along with this hopefully. And yep, that's just where I am at the moment.
Thank you. Shiva?
Yeah, hi everyone. So just working on two tasks there, CPS 497, which is to implement OM charts. I was just in a call with Aditya before this where she was showing me kind of how to go about starting that. I have some like code written up, I guess, but still need to do a bit of work on that. For CPS 3535, it's quite simple, but there's some stuff that I have to kind of push up. And when I went to push up, some stuff like the builds failing on Jenkins, that's the NCMP like DMI plugin. That's the one that you're talking about, Niamh, I think, right? Later. I'm just gonna work through that, but that should be done hopefully by the end of today anyway, at least. And then the OM charts, I'll just keep working on that. Yep, thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so next we'll look at the Garrett. So we have the following tasks open. There's a few reviews up here for TBDMT, so if people could look at them, that would be really good. So we also have the right data for pasture running, and Rahul is working on the resource data for pasture running from the NCMP side. Renu added the security to the query interface, and Dylan is working on updating the same handle in the DMI registry. This week, yeah, we completed a lot. So loop close to delete list node content in CPS. Renu has been working on the controller layer for the REST API for the querying data and adding the filter to the CPS update events. Some other stuff, I guess, is Shiva has added the list of all known modules and revisions for the Java API. And he also added the, where is it? I think there was a second part to that commit. And Adichie has been working on the CPS charts and delivering the stage releases for CPS Core and CPS Temporal. These are all just milestone duplicate tasks that we've closed because they're accidentally created. So just ignore these ones. And we got the bugs closed. We had 3 bugs raised on us. So we got them closed and they're all raised by the network slicing team. So if we look at the Solar Cube, we have 1 bug and 1 security hotspot, 12 code smells. We'll look into them this week and get them fixed. Coverage still looks really good. CPS Temporal is looking good as well and has good coverage, no code smells or bugs. And NCMP has 13 code smells. And I think the coverage is increasing, which is good. And TBDMT still looks the same. Well, there's 2 new security hotspots, but overall coverage looks good. That's all for the software status. Joe, would you like to discuss the issue you're having?
Yeah, sure. Am I able to share my screen?
Michael, would you be able to give Joe share permission, please? Okay.
Sorry, Niamh, who would you say to allow share?
Joseph Keenan, yeah. Please.
Joseph, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Should be able to now.
Great, thank you. Okay. So, screen 2. Can you see my screen, yes?
Yeah,
you
can see.
Okay. Okay, so I'm working on the story CPS 505 to get the modules for new CM handles. And essentially the issue that I'm having is if we essentially DMI will notify NCMP of any new CM handles. Now the REST call for this is literally just a list of CM handles. So if I was to run this here, there would be an exception in CPS where it tries to get the CM handle properties. So essentially what's happening is, if I go into the code here, it comes in here with the CM handles. It then goes on to attempt to register those with the NCMP. But it doesn't add the CM handle properties. And when it comes over to the CPS, this line here is what causes the exception because they're not supplied. So if I was going to the NCMP, this is essentially what's sent over. So it seems that there's either some logic missing perhaps, or maybe just a mismatch between what's expected. So this is what I sent in just there to DMI. It sends that onto CPS. CPS tries to get the CM handle properties, and this is what causes an exception. If I was to send the information directly to NCMP that it's expecting, so if I go into the controller and I come in here to this, it's expecting this DMI REST plugin registration, and that's what this information is here. If I was to send this, the reason you're seeing an exception there, by the way, is just that it's a duplicate key. If I was to go into CPS, I have some logging that I put in, and it basically goes all the way through. So this persistence handle 3, this quite useless looking log, is where it would fail if I was to try send it in through DMI directly. So I'll just send that again. We'll come down here, and it will have crashed out at that point. So it seems that there's either something missing between them, or it's a bug. So this is the CM handles that we send into DMI, and it's literally just a list of strings. But if we come over here, this REST CM handle, this does have the CM handle properties, whereas when we send it from DMI to NCMP in CPS, it doesn't. So if anyone has any ideas. So
the problem is that, on NCMP side, it is expecting an empty, if there are no properties,
mm-hmm.
Then it is expecting an empty tag for CM handle properties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so now it's up to the implementation that should client pass an empty tag for CM handle properties, or I'll say empty list,
mm-hmm.
or NCMP assumes that if there is no property are coming, then mm-hmm. there is no property attached with the CM handle. I think this is the problem here.
Okay, so if I come in here then, this point here, so it doesn't have to have the CM handle properties, is that correct? They're optional.
Yeah, so now it's, it's up to the, now we need to make a consensus here. So we can take the opinion of Tony. So Tony, mm-hmm. Should we pass an empty tag, or if client pass no properties, then server should assume that, okay, if there are no property, then I will not check them. And
assume what's that the best practice in terms of the APIs?
I think we should not pass the empty tag.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Because
that pushes the onus on NCMP to check to see if that tag exists before executing this, and if it does exist, just to put in an empty property structure. I'm guessing it's the mm-hmm. easiest way to do it, but
okay.
But if that is the best practice, if the expectation is that you don't pass empty lists around just for the sake of maintaining the structure, that it would also be, to my mind, more robust, especially if that list can be empty. If there's nothing in those, and this I'm assuming is the renamed additional properties that are used by the DMI plugin to understand what to do with the subsequent request. Is that correct? This was formerly additional properties that helped the DMI plugin store data related to the CM handle.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. That's it. Yeah, it's these are the additional properties or the properties for the specific CM handle being registered or created in this case.
Okay, and we know that the ONAP DMI plugin does not need any additional properties, and there may be others that don't need them either. So, from a usability perspective, I'm inclined to go along with Rahul on this one. It seems kind of a brittle interface that you have to have property structure, if even if you don't have any properties.
So I think, Tony, this interface is during from DMI to NCMP while doing the registration of the CM handle. Mm-hmm. So NCMP, yeah, so I think if the tag is not mandatory, so if we make it mandatory, then a client should send it an empty tag. But if that is not mandatory, then yeah, I think we should not enforce client to know all the tags which are optional.
Yep. And if that's the best practice in terms of REST interfaces and JSON payloads, then we should follow that. I'm bowing to those who are more familiar with writing these interfaces, because I haven't done this in any product, so I've never followed any particular schema on this one.
Yeah,
so if it is optional, it sounds like it's optional.
Yeah, if it's optional, it's better not to enforce to have it, and also it gives more flexibility for in case there is any evolution in the API, because it's always more easy to evolve with optional field than mandatory field. So yeah, if it's, I would suggest that if it's not if it's optional, don't force it.
Okay, so that's three votes for optional and fix it in the NCMP core.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so I think in OpenAPI, we just need to make an entry required false for this additional CM handle, properties, and it will fix this, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yep, that's everything I wanted to know. Appreciate it.
So will we create a new story to do that, or a task to do that, or Joe?
I think I could do that as part of this. I think I don't think it would take too long at all to do that.
No, I think we should create, if the story that is opened, still opened, or not closed yet, then we should make this fix under that story to track. And if that story is closed, then we should open a bug.
Yeah.
This is the practice.
Plus one.
So, and we should follow the practice.
Cool. Yeah. So I'll take care of that as part of this story then. That's fine. That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. I'll stop sharing and I'll hand it back to Niamh. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I guess the only thing I'd like to discuss that's left is we're seeing a build failure in DMI plugin. And the exception, it's kind of strange. I'll just share my screen. Okay. It's saying missing artifacts. Why? I'm not sure why this is only showing now. And we haven't seen this before. Shiva, you said you were looking into this. Do you have any idea?
Well, no, I just noticed that it's also on the Nordics one, Nordics Jenkins, and also on like I'm getting the same error like locally as well.
And yeah, so I ran it on local. Same error as well. I ran it on local and it is failing locally. So
yeah,
it looks like that there are. I tried removing the last four merges, commit merge, and it is still failing. So it looks like there are some changes on the Maven, Spring Boot Maven plugin. So if we add if we add the dependency explicitly, then it fixes on my side. I am not sure if it's a correct. I can send you the code that I did on my side. So in the,
I was also checking this, and I realized that the Maven, the Spring Boot Maven plugin version was not specified, and when I specify that, then the issue goes off. So.
Yeah,
it's in the com.xml 981. So I think that should solve the issue.
And I don't know why this is, you know, just popped up now, because.
Yeah, exactly. When I tried to take previous builds and it was still failing. Yeah, I have no idea.
So, yeah, so I think we should fix it.
Yeah, I think something changed in the Maven like repo, and you know, it says locally there was some kind of problem within the repo. So, but yeah, we should probably just add the version and that would fix it, I'd say.
Okay, I'll create a task for that. So is Aditya or Rahul, or are you guys okay to take it?
Out of curiosity, because I'm not clear, there were two solutions I thought I heard. One was to add the dependency, and the other one was to revert to an earlier version of the Maven plugin.
So that's
I think both are to add dependency, right?
I don't think they're the same solution.
No. So what I was talking about is we already have this dependency added, like the plugin added, Spring Boot Maven plugin, but its version was not specified in the pom.xml. And when I specify the version, I see the issue not occurring. But I think Rahul was talking about adding another dependency. So
those are two different solutions. So which solution are you proposing to go with?
I think we should try with the version one because it's there in other CPS temporal and CPS as well. I'm not sure why we missed it.
Okay.
Yeah. Previously I added the dependency, but now I see that after introducing a version and not introducing the dependency, it works. So yeah. So I think version one is fine. So there are two dependencies missing. It says it missing. So first one is, as we can see here, one is platform dependency and another one is tools dependency. So if we explicitly add them, then it also works. And if we add the version, then it works. So I think we will add the version. So Renu, did you introduce the latest version or which version you added?
I added the same version which is there in others like CPS Dummy. So 2.3.3 is what I added.
Okay.
With that, is it possible that I just push that up with the version.properties change that I have up actually?
That's what Shiva. So I'll just ping that one line to you. You can. With your badge.
I think you should be careful with this because the Maven plugins and Spring Boot, Spring brings a whole bunch of stuff with it in terms of how it compiles and builds your whole package. And there may be good reason why you want to stick with the later version of the Maven plugin. Because it may be bringing in later versions of Spring Boot, and there may be reasons why somebody centrally has decided to increase the version, because I'm assuming these things are inherited from the parent POM. They're not just always going to go for the latest. And it may well bite you later on if you get some security issues or some bugs, if you have fixed at an older version of a Maven plugin. So I just think about that before you commit to it. It's definitely the most expedient solution is just to fix to an older version and then continue on working with the functionality. But it might just be pushing a problem out the road, if you know what I mean.
I clicked the link there where it's saying it's getting the actual repository from. And it's saying that one of the files were changed today at 11. And when I try and download the file, it doesn't let me. So it could just be an issue on, whoever runs the repositories for ONAP. I'm not sure.
So it might just be a temporary glitch as well. I'm not sure who was speaking there, but it might just be a temporary glitch, as you say. Definitely the most expedient solution is to change the version of the Maven plugin. That will get you out of grief fastest. But I just want you to be aware that you could be digging yourself a hole or pushing a problem down the line. And that's all I wanted to say.
It is pointing to 2.6.0, as I can see in the
screen that's shared. Yeah.
Screen. And Aditya, you are proposing 2.3.3, right?
Yeah.
So did you try with
2.6.0? We're using 2.3.3 in CPS as well. Like in CPS core, we're using 2.3.3.
Is it fixed there?
Yeah, it's fixed there. Like it in CPS core, it's 2.3.3-releases as the version. So it's fixed.
Okay.
In NCMP DMI plugin, I think we forgot to add that in there. And it was working up until today when something happened, I guess, on the repository site. So, yeah.
Okay, so fixing it then is going to be in line with CPS, in which case I will say it's got my vote now. But it is something to be aware of, that the longer you stay away from latest, the more issues you have with making a jump if you are forced to for some security or other reason.
Yeah, maybe I'll just add a task to the backlog as well, just to update our versions. And it's something we can look at.
That's an excellent way to handle it. Good suggestion, Niamh.
Okay.
Shiva, which POM you are pointing to where the version is mentioned? Because I am seeing application, CPS application, and I do not see any version there. It's without version. So.
If you give me a second there, I just found it here.
It's CPS parent.
CPS dependencies? I think it was
CPS parent.
Yeah, CPS parent POM. Yeah, it's in there. Line 106.
Okay. Okay, and I think it also points to, if I go there, so okay, it is pointing to ONAP parent. DMI plugin is pointing to ONAP parent. Okay, so we need a discussion there. So should we point to CPS parent or should we point to ONAP parent from DMI? So this is another, because then we will automatically pointing to, you know, the default version that is being used in the CPS parent.
Might be worth putting that into the same task that Niamh suggested.
We did
just taking the expedient solution now.
We did have this discussion before when we were creating NCMP repository, that whether we should extend from CPS parent or ONAP parent. And at that time, it was decided that we should go ahead with ONAP, like, because they are separate components.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, let's not revisit old decisions. If that is, it's good to have the memory. If that's the decision that was made, then we should stick with that decision. But you still need to have the task to understand the implications of sticking with a specific version of a Maven plugin.
It means that you know, then in this case, CPS parent is behind the ONAP version, because this 2.6.0, it is coming from ONAP parent. But CPS, because it is fixed 2.3.3 release version, so it is, you know, three or four release behind from that. So yeah, we need. So it means there are some.
I did try to check in the effective POM, but I couldn't find. Did we verify it that it's coming from ONAP parent?
because ONAP is the parent here, and you know the version is not mentioned. So 2.6.0, from where that version might come, it should come from the parent, right?
I actually tried it. I'm curious about it. So I tried it. I couldn't find the version in the effective form. So I'm just trying to figure out, does Maven
pull the latest version?
Yeah, does it pull the latest or not?
It pulls the latest. If there's no version specified, it'll pull the latest.
So I think that is happening.
And that can be dangerous, as we've just discovered. But it is good to pick a version.
I just verified in the parent form. I don't see the version specified for Spring Boot Maven plugin. It's picking the latest.
Okay, so I think just to close this one, because I think we did get to a close, there was a new task being created to look at the version of the plugin to be used, and to, for now, for the DMI, or the NCMP rather, to use this 2.3.3 to get the build working again.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to use the same as the same version as the one that is currently used by GPS, and at least to fix it. It makes sense to me. Yeah. Yeah.
And then to have a task to understand what are the consequences of that. Should we be using a later version or whatever?
Okay.
Across the board.
Would anyone like to discuss anything else?
I do want to discuss the story which I have. Neve, can you go to the implementation proposal story?
Okay.
Go to this story 526. And if you go to the patch, which is related to it, so actually I wanted to discuss the default values for the thread pool. I wanted to have another call, but now we have time, so I thought I'll just discuss here. If you go to the async config, yeah? Okay, I'm gonna make it configurable, but these are the values which I am planning to set as default. Like whenever there is a thread pool to process the data updated event, then in that case, this is the default value that I'm planning to go with. Of course, these will be configurable, but do you guys think that we should change it? For the queue capacity, I would like to make it 100, but rest I wanted to discuss whether is it okay to have this as a default value. So thread pool will be created with the minimum size of 2 and the maximum pool size of 10. And it's going to have an internal capacity of 100 at line 42. It's internal capacity of 100. And it will, whenever there's a shutdown, it's going to wait for the task to get completed. And this is the thread name, which will be attached when a new thread gets created. This is what it's going to be prefixed with. So this is what I wanted to check with the team.
So what kind of task this thread pool will be taking?
So we have a task for notifications. We have a notification service feature in which we were sending a message to Kafka and then it's going to be read by Temporal. Right now it's a synchronous process, and sometimes, so to avoid any delays in the CPS response because of this notification, we are planning to make it asynchronous so that if Kafka is not available or for any reason, CPS is not impacted both from response perspective and the time taken to respond also. So that's why we are planning to move it to asynchronous. And for that, we need to define the thread pool, which will be used to run those tasks. So this is basically for that. And if you want to know like how many tasks and what kind of tasks will be there, so it will be executed whenever there is a create or update on the data node. So replace data node or put operation, all those things.
This because this thread pool executor can maximum take 110, because if you are going to set the queue capacity to 100, then at one point of time it can take 110 tasks, 100 in waiting and 10 is in execution.
Yes. So
how you are coming to the number 110? So that
I'm not so sure. So do we want to keep it? I'm not sure whether we would want to keep it unlimited or what value we should go with here. Because unlimited gives us the flexibility that we can have a lot of tasks, but it also adds a lot of, it is gonna increase the memory also, but it's just two strings, like, because when we're calling the API, there are just two strings which we are passing: data space name and the anchor. So it should not increase a lot, but so this is consequence what value
if a task is being spilled. So
that we need to discuss, like whether we CPS temporal will not have that information and we need to decide at what level. It's a pros and cons, like we have to see how much we want to put and after what time we are okay to let go of the values, so, or we are not. In that case, we have to keep it unlimited.
Well, what is happening to whenever the queue is full after 100? What is happening for the subsequent one coming after, if ever it's full?
Yeah, actually, it's an important question. So if the queue size is full, then in that case, I think this is another point which we should discuss, which I forgot about, that if the queue is full, do we want to, we still need to handle that request, right? On the CPS side, we don't want to fail the request, but that part also we need to handle. But what that means that the message will not go through. It will not go.
It will be simply ignored. It will never be sent. Right?
It will never be sent. It will be lost.
So it will be lost. And we just maybe just keep track of it and be sure that it doesn't make CPS fail. I would say, but by having this configuration, it for sure, if it's configurable, we could increase the queue capacity, but we could never put it unlimited, right? It needs to have a value.
I need to see that one. If I remove the capacity, does it become unlimited? Because there are queues in Java which are unlimited. So I need to see whether they have, but it has the impact of memory issues.
Is there any way that where you can, let's say you are giving the queue capacity 100, and is there any way in Java to, if it crosses 80, then a message or something like popped up that the threshold is about to, you know, reach? So is there something like that we can do?
That I'm not so sure. That is more about monitoring.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this can be done with using metrics, or adding some application metrics. So that also can be done if we are able to have the information about the queue size that can be done. But for this one, I would say that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bruno.
No, I was just thinking that the value that you're coming from would make sense, and maybe at least could be start with, and probably we could fine tune them when we run some load test also, whichever it needs to be fine tuned. And anyway, because it's like default value, but always configurable. So I would suggest that starting with this and just after run some load tests to fine tune them.
Do you like in this way, the way we are defining it, there is the queue capacity is fixed. So I think I should also explore the option if somebody wants it unlimited. So maybe as a default, if somebody is not providing it, then we can take it as maybe minus one or something, then we can take it as unlimited.
Yeah, it would make sense. This way it will be anyway fully configurable, and we can, so it won't block anybody. And if ever some of the value really doesn't make sense, the default value doesn't make sense, we could still adjust them later on. But I think the key point here maybe is to have it fully configurable. And as you were saying, if ever no queue capacity is provided, it becomes unlimited. Yeah.
Okay. I will check that part. So I think for the core size and the pool size, I'm going to keep it as 2 and 10 because it depends upon how many CPUs you have. And then you have the queue capacity that I will explore the unlimited part. And maybe like, what do you guys suggest? Should we keep the default as unlimited if we find that option? And if
maybe
somebody
I have no strong opinion. Maybe the default with a specific value is fine as soon as also because it forced to think about what is happening.
I think your default should be
small.
Think you should set a small default so that you can scale down. Otherwise, the unlimited just will give you out of memory in a small container.
The only problem with that is that right now, user will not know because they're CPS, because we are not throwing any error. So in that case, user will not know that that there is anything, they are losing any data. But if we go with unlimited, there's going to be out of memory or something else. And then they will get to know, they need to look into it. But if this, like, there has to be some other way just to inform user that, you know, they have hit this thing because there are no exceptions because we don't want CPS to fail, CPS request to fail.
The exception will happen. So I think what we have to do here is just to log the exception and to log the information that has been missed. And later on also after that, it will, by having some monitoring, we'll be able to be alerted if it happened. And as it was also suggested, we could also think about the monitoring when the queue starts being full. And I think it should be okay if we at least log the information that some event has not been sent at all and has been ignored. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe for the metrics part, we need to check its
logging it as a even as error level. So this will be monitored, and all the error are going to be monitored and catch if it happens.
Okay. Maybe later on we can discuss to have a specific metrics for this one within CPS itself, like where we are monitoring whether the messages are getting failed or not. Okay. Okay.
I see that there are two ways discussed here, and each way has its benefits as well as limitations. So whatever way we are choosing, I think we should mention in the release document.
Yes. Okay. So do we already have a release document in progress, or where I can add this once the story is done, or do we do it at the end of when we are done with the functionality, and when do we update the release documentation?
After the code freeze, we usually.
After the code freeze, okay.
Pretty quick.
Okay. So we will, okay, so I will, the, okay. So what I'll do, I'll make everything configurable. And for the queue capacity size, I will keep it as 500, and the error will be logged with the, and the error will be logged. And for the monitoring, I think we need to, which can be done as a part of a different story, but as a part of the story, it will be just logging if there is any errors related to sending the messages or queue is full.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, would anyone like to discuss anything else?
Yeah, we have
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
I'm from Tech Mahindra, and we have recently started working on CPS. So, like, currently we are testing the API interfaces that are provided by CPS. So, I was hoping, like, if you guys can provide certain working examples of the interfaces that are currently.
Okay, sure. Is there a particular interface or endpoint in the interface?
We have tested some of them, so we are fine with that. But we are having certain problems while creating the data nodes. So maybe if we can get certain 10 working examples for that.
Sure, I'll send that on.
Yeah, so how can we connect with you guys? I contacted Twine on Slack. So maybe if anyone else is there.
Yeah, Twine is on annual leave. I think he'll be back next week. You can contact me and I'll send on some examples we use to create the data node.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'll ping you on Slack. I'll provide my email ID, so then maybe over there you can send.
Out of curiosity, Arpit, what are you using CPS for?
Currently, I'm very new to Tech Mahindra, so I'm not in a position to explain the things. Maybe next time my tech lead, if he joins the call today, he's a bit busy, so maybe he can explain it better.
That'd be wonderful. It's always good to know how the CPS is being used. It's good to hear more people are using it. So that's good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, so even we have just started working on it. So as we move further, we hope to contribute in the community as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I guess we can close the meeting.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Neve. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.